Mr. Fidler, Real 2. We were talking about your time with the local defence volunteers and Home Guard in your local village after you joined them sometime around June 1940. You had a Sunday meet, but you also had a couple of meets midweek as well, yeah, at the drill hall, the makeshift.
Yeah, we had a couple of nights at the hall. Now, this was normal drill. We still had to wear our equipment. It wasn't just a question of civvies. It was a parade night, even so. And
What about the drill? How far did you get with it? I mean,
well, normal rifle drill mainly. This is, you know, slope arms and present arms.
Did you get any other training on those nights? Or was it just drill?
No, it was mainly drill. And then I take it this went for about an hour. And then, of course, we went on to a few card games, the normal, spent the rest of the evening there. It was really a get-together.
And what about the Sunday?
Now, Sundays, we used to have a sergeant that used to come from the Royal West Kents. Now, I presume that they were based around here, I don't know, but he used to come up every Sunday because he used to come to our house, and before we started the parade, he would come in for the normal coffee. Now, he would take us through our paces on the rifle drill and grenade throwing and such like. This would be in a field at the back of the drill hall.
How did he teach you to throw the grenade then?
Well, he used to have bales of straw and, you know, get back, get down and then lob the grenade, as far as one could.
Did he teach you to shoot the rifle? Was it the Lee Enfield or the Ross?
Oh, yeah, the Ross. That was the Canadian. Yeah. Now, I don't think he had anything to do with, I can't remember going to a firing range, funnily enough.
So how did he teach you?
I can't... wait a minute. Yes, right now, at the back of this field, there's a big pit. And we used to go up there. He used to take us up there on firing. Now, this was only 2-2 firing. Not the 303. This would be, we had a couple of 2-2 rifles, and they used to go in. Oh, this was sort of just above the village itself. But I can't really remember. We must have done, but I can't really remember going to any pucker range, rifle range. But bear in mind, I was also between the Home Guard and the ATC, the Air Training Corps, which I belonged to, so I had two uniforms.
I'll come back to the air training corps. So, you had a bit of rifle training. Did he teach you how to sort of clean the rifle and things like that?
Oh, yeah. These are things that I presume, you know, you tend to forget. But, yes, rifle cleaning was a big part in the training of working with guns and such like, you know, using a pull-through and... They were out. In fact, I think they used to be boiled out if the barrel got very, very bad.
And what about any light machine gun? Was there a Bren or Lewis?
No.
What about bayonet training?
No.
So just the hand grenade and rifle, as far as you remember.
Yeah. Of course, I wasn't in it all that long because before I.
Any other training you had with them? Tactical training or anything like that?
Yeah, I can recollect going across a field or two, but not much. I can't really remember a lot about the Home Guard, although I can remember a couple of weekdays or a couple of Sundays. We went rabbit shooting. And this was out of the village, you know, about a couple of miles from the village. We all had 12 bores, and in fact, I had a 410. And I shot this rabbit. I don't remember shooting this rabbit, and the thing kept going round and round. So what I'd done was I up the gun and hit it with the butt and killed the rabbit. But unfortunately, in doing this, I broke the butt of the gun. It was smaller, the butt. And two or three of these guns belonged down to the big house. And of course, I was in trouble. But anyway, they did get this. This is only something that really perhaps stands out, that they got this repaired at the local gunsmiths, and nothing more was said about it. This was only I can't remember a lot about the Home Guard, my Home Guard training, to be quite honest.
So this rabbit shooting was in Home Guard time?
Yes, it was in Home Guard time.
Did you have any actual duties, you know, guarding installations?
It's coming back a wee bit now. Just on the entrance and the exit to the village, you know, one road coming in and one road out. We used to have a big fir pole, I believe it was about 12 inches diameter, and this used to be wheeled, and on the end of it was a big wheel, and this used to be wheeled across the road. Every now and again we would do this on a tactical exercise. It's beginning to come back a bit now. And also, there was at that time, there was a lot of the pillboxes being, the old concrete pillboxes that were being erected along the sides of the river. And we used to close these, get down. To me, it was a laugh, really. And I think the majority of people, you've got to appreciate that a lot of these people were farm labourers and such like. But that doesn't make any difference. And I think they took it as a wee bit of a joke, and I think we all did.
Were you on tactical exercise on the roadblocks and pillboxes, or would you actually be in them guarding things, you know, sort of occupying them?
We didn't used to do any, but I believe some Home Guards used to do night patrols and such like. Well, it never came to us on...
So you only used the roadblocks and the pillboxes as part of an exercise?
More or less, yeah.
Now, is that all about the Home Guard? Or
yeah,
should we move?
Nothing really much that I can tell about.
What about
I think the funny thing about the Home Guard was the way that the uniforms used to come in, and so this to me was diabolical. But I think what we didn't understand was that all this had to be got to us beside being the armed forces.
Now, what about the Air Training Corps? When did you join them?
Oh, I can't remember when. I was in there, I suppose, for about. 6 months.
About how old were you then?
Well, I had both uniforms when I joined the army in May 42. I had both uniforms then. So I used to think I was in it probably six months. We were, the council school was used, not as our headquarters, but where we used to go, for aircraft recognition and such like.
Now, what made you join the Air Training Corps? I mean, you were already in the Home Guard.
Well, I think it was possibly because I wanted to go into the Air Force. Now, you're right, I really wanted to be a rear gunner. Now, why, I don't know, but I did. And when I went up to Reading to join the Air Force or to join the air crew, I failed, I think, on maths. And so I didn't want to know any more about the Air Force.
So you joined because you wanted to be in the RAF?
Yeah, as a rear gunner. I wanted to be air crew.
Now, so what training did you get with them? Well, what uniform first?
Oh, yes, we used to know. When we had the uniform from them, it was a complete set, except for shoes. You had to supply the shoes. And this was I can't remember what they called, because I was so used to wearing a beret. I'm not sure what they call the hats that the Air Force used to wear. But you had one of them, a tunic, and... but when I say a tunic, I don't mean the tunic you tied up round there. It was a jacket-type tunic and trousers.
And what was your training with them?
Well, aircraft recognition,
How did they do that? How did they train you in aircraft recognition?
Well, it was mainly with photographs and stuff, like, you know, all around the room with different types of aircraft.
What else did you do with them?
Used to parade Sundays. Used to have their own band. Occasionally we used to go on a church parade, go around the town.
Did you have any connection with local air bases? Or did you ever
ever go there? No, I can't ever remember going to...
So you didn't get a flight?
No. And I can't really remember much about the... because I wasn't in there all that long. But we used to have to do a bit of boxing and all this that came into it.
Doesn't seem to have had that much to do other than the air recognition, you know, the aircraft.
There had to be, but I just can't recall anymore. There had to be because Sundays was always parades, and I think we used to go there two nights a week. But I just can't really remember anything about it.
Did it clash with the Home Guard at all? I mean,
occasionally, because it was most Sundays at the Home Guard, and I think it was probably about every other Sunday we used to parade in the ATC.
What happened when they clashed?
Well, I used to go to the Army one. I think this was possibly because I lost interest in the Air Force, because I couldn't get into the in on the air crew side.
Right, so what about your eventual conscription? Were you conscripted or did you volunteer?
I believe I was conscripted. I'm pretty sure I was. Although a mate of mine thinks that him and I went up to Wales and joined together, but I just can't remember this. But I feel that I was conscripted.
What was the process? You probably don't remember it too well in view of that, but I mean, how did you come to get in the army then? You joined May 42.
I was interviewed at Reading, and they asked me, obviously what my background was, what I did, and they said, have you got any preference, but what would you like to be able to do? I think I would like to go into tanks, and nothing more was said. You had your medical and such like, and what you would like to do, or if you had the choice. And then you went home, and then you waited for your call-up paper to come along.
And what happened then?
I think I had about a week before I then had to go to report to the RAC, that's the Royal Armoured Corps, at Purham Down, that's Tidworth, just outside of Tidworth.
Purham Down.
Purham Down. It still exists now.
And what? Who were you joining at Purham Down?
The 54th Training Regiment. And I was in a squad. They didn't call them troops. They had a squad there. 180. Now, I always remember 180 because we were always in competition with 179.
And what was your reception when you arrived at Perth? How did they sort of take you from being a raw recruit
I walked into catch the train at Newbury, and I got off at the station near Perham Down. I can't think of what it was. Luggershaw. I got off the train at Luggershaw, and as it happened, there was a truck not waiting for me. Because we had to make our own way to the camp, and I told him where I was going. Where he said, "Well, I'm going up to Purham Down." He said, "I'll drop you off." And I was taking it to the 54th Training Regiment admin building. Not introduced, but walked into the sergeant major wanting on the name, and of course with my name, of course it was always a bit of a laugh. But I got to the where I used to be able to take this quite easily. It was only in the early days whereby the sergeant would come up behind and say, "What's your name?" And I used to say Fiddler, and he'd say, "Don't take the mickey out of me, lad." And of course, it was immediately get your hair cut. What's your name, Fiddler? Don't take the mickey out of me, lad. But of course, it I was able to live with that after a time.
And what about kitting out? And do you remember being kitted out?
Then you went to the quartermaster stores, and you were kitted out with full kit.
Do you remember what it was?
I certainly do. Boots, leggings, trousers, belt, blouse, denims, beret, vests, pants, gloves, greatcoat. The drawers, it was always called drawer cellular. Pants, there was always two, I don't know if it was two or three pair. Vests, yes, I think it was vests. Shaving kit. Towels. There had to be more, but I can't remember.
And then what happened? What about the haircut?
Oh, blimey, oh yes, you were... they didn't turn around and ask you how you wanted your hair cut. You know, they just did a short back and sorry.
How short was it?
Well, it was, as far as I was concerned, because I always had a short haircut anyway, as far as I was concerned, it wasn't anything bad. And then, of course, we had to see although we'd already had a medical, I forgot to say, we had a medical up at Reading, we had to go to the MO. I had to go to the dentist. Obviously, we were then put into a hut, and we were. You'll, from now on, you'll be SWAT 1A0.
Now, what were the huts like? They were.
These were long huts. I suppose they held about. 15, 30, probably about 30 men. In other words, 30 to 40 men in a squad. And at the end of the hut, there would be the wash, and this, of course, is cold water and galvanized bowls that you washed in. Taps just running along the top.
What about
very, very primitive.
Stove?
Stove. Was it? Polish stove in the middle of the
And what type of beds were there? I mean,
these were beds with, I used to call them, three type palliasses. Used to be biscuits. They used to call them biscuits. They laid across the. Now I think in the first instance we had wood across the top, and then I think we eventually got springs.
And did you have any cupboard or place for personal?
Yes, we had a small cupboard. I'm not sure whether it was a tall one or a small one, because they varied a lot. I think we had a small cupboard where you had to put, because mainly your kit was always on the bed, except when you slept in it. You had to fold everything up before you went in the morning, and then you weren't allowed to put your bed down till, I think, after 4 o'clock. And this would even regularly inspect it.
How did you prepare your kit for inspection?
Do I remember? We had two blankets wrapped round with a third. In front of that was the big pack, and in front of the big pack was a small pack. On the outside of the pack there were boots, and these were, and the tips and the tips of the boots, the toe caps were, you could see your face in them, and I mean see your face in them.
How did you get them like that? I mean, because that's not natural.
We used to mainly use a toothbrush handle. You used to bone them, or bits of bone or anything like that, and you'd bone, spit and polish, really.
Who told you how to do that? I mean, that's not how you do it in civilian life, is it? Might be.
No. But this was something that had to be did anyway. I mean, as soon as you got into the army, you were shown, I think it was the squad corporal I think there was a squad corporal, there was a colour sergeant in charge of air, but of course you didn't see. The colour, if I remember, the corporal had a room at the end of the hut that he controlled. When I say controlled us with, he used to live there with us. We were all in bed, but he did have a room on his own.
Now, if we look at sort of, it's not any typical day, but if we look at your training through means of a typical day, what time would your day start, roughly speaking?
I think it's 6 o'clock in the morning. You would then... And then you would wash and shave. If you were, the first out into the washout, you were better off because you were able to get a bowl. There wasn't enough bowls to go around. Then the next thing would be a kit layout. And when I say a kit layout, that was a kit layout. I think breakfast was about 7 o'clock.
Now, how did you take to army food, generally?
The food was, I've got to admit, the food was reasonably good. And when I say reasonably good, that it was reasonably good. I thought it was good.
So
you know, a lot of people turn around and say it wasn't good. There would always be porridge, bacon, an egg, or what have you. Not always an egg, but there would be generally bacon and such like. Just the one slice, bread, 2 lumps of bread.
And what about, jumping on, but to keep it with the food, what about dinner or lunch, whichever you call it?
There'd be normally stews.
Was the quality all right now? I mean, by quality, I mean the actual ingredients that went into it.
Well, the ingredients, obviously, was, I think you've got to admit, were probably the best. Best for, you know, it wasn't anything fancy. It was, I had no complaints about the food, really.
And there's enough of it?
Yes. Now, I don't think you ever went back. I'm not so sure you ever could go back for more, but I always found it enough. But you've got to appreciate that we used to train at the training regiment very, very hard. We never had 5 minutes to ourselves. We had to change from we used to have about 2 minutes to change from PT kit.
Well, let's look at some of these sessions then. Taking PT first, I think that was often early in the morning. What?
That was a vest, pants and gym shoes.
Now, what was PT like? What were you doing, and did it have any impact, or you were a sportsman anyway, but did it have any impact on you or your fellow recruits? And what, you know, did it work, in other words?
It worked. It had to work. I think the amount what we done, it had to work. But we were always... very difficult to say. We were always on the run. You didn't slouch across it. Well, you didn't go across a parade ground. You had to go around the parade ground. It was mainly the PT was outside, irrespective of weather.
And what sort of things? So you didn't have a... You weren't in a gymnasium?
I don't think we had... Yes, we did have a gymnasium. Yes, we did. We used to have bars. Yes, we had bars. But did we have a vaulting horse? We had mats, you used to have the mats, you know.
So you had two sides. One side was the normal, what you might call gymnastics, but mats, vaulting, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What would you do outside? I mean, was that...
This was mainly on the main parade ground, and you were doing... down on the...
Press-ups.
Leg movements, arm movements, everything that is that you would do in a gym. And this was mainly done outside.
Did you feel the benefit, you know, doing chest expansion, things like that? Did it work on you, or were you already fit enough?
I don't know whether anybody is ever fit enough, but I think it done the world of good. I've got to say that I'm glad I didn't miss it. And yes, I think it done the world of good for me. But this was... generally right through, not just for the PT.
Okay, let's move on. I'll follow through some more. What about the route marches or cross-country runs or both? What about them?
We used to do route marches.
What would a typical route march be like?
This was in the region of 3 to 4 miles. Now, this would be, and also this would be sometimes in gym kit and sometimes in full marching order and sometimes in the
denims, overalls.
Well, no, belt and the I can't remember what
it's
all told. Yeah, you know, the wedding gear that goes over the shoulders, and then you wear a
small.
I can't really.
It's all right. Jump past it.
It's so long ago, the training side of it.
You're doing fine. So, I mean, the route marches would just be about 3 or 4 months. Not too severe then. They didn't get longer.
Well, I don't think we did. I think you also had to remember that we weren't infantry. That we, you could turn and say, but it was general. I don't think it was general. I think the training of a tank man was totally different to what an infantry had to put up.
So, what about drill sessions? You'd already done some drill.
We used to do a lot of drill. We used to do pistol drill. Rifle drill, because we air arms mainly with pistol. We very rarely, we used it on a firing range.
Which pistol was it, and what did you think of it? Because they're a bit inaccurate, people say.
Pistols were inaccurate, but of course you couldn't very well carry a rifle in a tank. You see, this was the point. You couldn't get in and out of a tank, although there again, we used to take it after time when we used to get in and out. You used to take it. We used to do a lot of drill, I think, every day.
Did you like drill? Or did you see the point of it then?
Perhaps? Oh, of course I see the point of it, yes I did. We used to have a very hard sergeant. It was a bloke with the name of Jackson. He was a colour sergeant. But he was brilliant. When I say brilliant, he was immaculate to start with, and which obviously made us immaculate. And of course, we also had this other squad that was, when I say next door to us, within the next hut, and we were always in competition. But we used to do drill every day, and
he didn't bore you then.
We used to, and of course, at the end of it. Our first time was for 6 weeks in the training regime before you had your first leave. And at the end of this, you were really not fighting for survival, but you were fighting to be the best. This was the point. And
do you think this competitive thing worked? Was it inside your own squad, or was it just with this other squad?
Well, I think it went between squads, but ours were very, very much with 179. And I've got to admit, we always used to come up on top. And I think this was basically what made us, and I do say this, what made us a good squad. And not just a good squad, a very, very smart squad in everything that we had to do. And I think this was basically because we had such a good colour sergeant. He was a bar. He was a bugger.
In what way? I mean, why was he good and why was he a bugger?
Well, I think you've got to be a bit of a bugger of a sergeant to drive Bob's forward. He was so. He used to really, really, really push us. Very, very, very difficult to.
Did you resent him at the time?
Oh, well, often it's play, often it gets resented, often did. But, you know, I suppose now we look at it, that of course he had a job to do, but he was making something of us, making something of me anyway.